Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is Jamie Russo. For those of you that are new to the show, I own a coworking space in Palo Alto, California. I am the executive director of the Global Workspace Association, and through my Everything Coworking brand, I use my broad industry experience and exposure to help people start and run coworking spaces that meet their personal and financial goals. If you are in the New York City area, the Global Workspace Association is hosting a seminar on May 30th on the perfect anatomy of a coworking website. Kevin Whelan, who was a guest on a previous episode, has deep marketing experience and is focusing his efforts on the coworking industry. He will be running the seminar for us. We're super excited. It's at the Players Club, which is a really special venue in New York City. Head on over to globalworkspace.org to find more info and to register. And then mark your calendars. We are the GWA Annual Flexible Office Conference is September 18th through the 20th in Washington, D.C. We are just about ready with the website and all the speaker content, the agenda, etc. And we have some really exciting announcements to make. So if you are not on our mailing list, head over to globalworkspace.org, sign up for our mailing list, and you will be sure to receive lots of details about the conference as they come out. And then I've been getting a couple of emails from folks who missed the last cohort of the Coworking Startup School. If you are interested in getting into the next group, make sure to get on the waiting list. You can do that by heading over to www.coworkingstartupschool.com. Put your email in and I will make sure to let you know when that launches again. I am targeting July, so it's not too far away. So I am really excited about today's guest, and the topic may not sound all that sexy to you, but it's super important to us who run co-working spaces, and I think we're going to start to be under more pressure to be really up to speed on security, both physical security and cybersecurity. Certainly, if you are hoping to capture some of the demand from corporate users that we expect to start really showing up in big waves, you will need to be compliant on their security requests. So they will have pretty particular requests around access to the space, make sure your policies and procedures around managing guests are really up to speed and your staff is trained, and then they will have a bunch of questions about your network and their security on your network. So today I have Anne Hardy, who is the Chief Security Officer at Join Digital. And the founder of Join, Carl May, spoke at our conference last year, the GWA conference. When I say R, sorry, I wear lots of hats, and so I kind of switch among them without maybe being clear about where I'm going. So the Global Workspace Association conference last year, which we do in conjunction with NAOP, by the way, they are the association for developers and landlords, and we have lots of landlords getting into the even small landlords. So half the folks in my last co-working startup school cohort own buildings. So not all institutional owners, obviously, but folks just like you that happen to own their real estate. So we collaborate with NAOP on that. So Carl May was at the conference and spoke on stage, and he happens to live in the Bay Area, so I talked to him afterwards, and I was kind of blown away when he explained what they do. So ideally, they get into a building when the building is being redeveloped or there's kind of major construction that's happening that allows access to wiring. But they can wire a building and then bring in their cloud-based IT service and really create this super secure but plug-and-play situation for the building and any of its tenants. So Anne and I talk about this, like, you know, if you're in a building, like you and the 70 other people in that building have to each call Comcast or Century 20, like whoever it is that brings in your high-speed internet access, and you all have separate contracts with these people. So what Join does is basically takes control of the building and centrally manages the internet service provider and then all the equipment in the space. So it's like a managed service for all your IT needs. And it's super, super secure and compliant with anything that an enterprise occupier would need. And you basically don't do anything. It's amazing, because I'm sure that if you own a space already, you know one of the most stressful aspects is managing the IT. And if something goes wrong, then who do you call? How quickly can you get it fixed? You know, people get really angry when the internet doesn't work. So anyway, security has been a really hot topic because I think a lot of us just sort of put earmuffs on and like don't really think much about it because we don't know how to manage it and what to do. So Anne goes through kind of a 101 about some of the things corporate occupiers will request. And she mostly talks about how Join can solve this. It's going to be a little bit trickier if you have your own system, but it'll give you some ideas about what to talk to your IT guy about if you have corporate occupiers who are asking these questions. And some of the security issues, as we talk about in the podcast, are physical. You know, they're kind of basic, which you have easy control over. It's just a matter of managing policies and procedures in your space and training your team. So anyway, we're going to dive in. And I encourage you to stick around for this topic, even if you don't think it sounds very exciting, because I think it's super important if we're putting on our hat of like, well, there are things we need to do when we run a business that we're not always that crazy about. And this is one of those, but super important. And I think getting even more important. As a matter of fact, right before I talked to Anne, I had an email from a reporter from BizNow who was writing about this exact topic. So the media is definitely getting wind that there are kind of issues with security, IP. He referenced corporate espionage, which I thought was a really fun term. Not fun if you're stuck in the middle of some sort of corporate espionage case, but sounded like sort of spy story detective-like. Anyway, clearly it's becoming a hotter topic and we need to be aware of it and kind of know how to think about it and how to manage it. So without further ado, here is Anne. Okay, I am super excited for our guest today. Anne Hardy is with me. She is Chief Security Officer at Join Digital. We are going to dive into what Join is and we're going to talk about Anne's background a little bit to start. She has a broad career in high tech, in security. I'll let her talk about some of the details. She is originally French, but is in the Bay Area. And we were just chatting. I was asking about her athletic career because she noted in her bio that she was a competitive gymnast and now ultra marathoner and triathlete. And she did her first Ironman in Santa Rosa this weekend. So I had to ask her all the details about that. And thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So besides the fact that you just completed an Ironman, which is amazing, tell us a little bit more about your background and then we'll kind of dive into what brought you to Join and what Join is. And we are going to talk about sort of cybersecurity and all the things that co-working space, maybe not all the things, a 101, a primer on some of the things shared workspaces should be thinking about in terms of security. So Anne, give us your background to start.
Yeah, so education, I studied engineering, software engineering in France many years ago. Then I worked in the telco industry for about 10 years, large companies, Alcatel, then Nortel Networks. And after that, I decided to do an MBA just to complete my education, I thought. And I worked, so I did my MBA, I went back to France actually for a year to do an MBA and worked in the venture capital industry for a year. And then I went back to industry right away pretty much and worked for SAP for many years, 12 years, where I did very different things like engineering initially, research on security actually, then more platform research, then developer relations, which is more marketing. And then I did my last job at SAP was on the culture, people culture. So trying to get engineers happy at work, which was interesting, but challenging as well, but very interesting. And then I started my own company, WorkRise. And what we did was a platform for companies to better understand how their employees were doing at work. So it was emotional data collection and reports for companies.
This was driven by your culture work. You're like, there's an opportunity.
Maybe I can help more than just SAP, which, yeah. And to my surprise, a lot of companies don't want to know. They don't want to know.
Earmuffs, like just like co-working spaces and security. We don't want to know. We don't want to think about that.
Yeah, it's like, they're leaving. Yeah, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
It's a hard problem, all this emotional stuff.
Yeah.
Technology we can handle. People and emotions, very hard.
Yeah, it's tough. But so after that, I was thinking about what I wanted to do. And I was honestly not sure because I had done research, engineering, marketing, culture stuff. And I was like, oh, what do I like most? I mean, what do I want to do? And do I want to work in a large company, a small company? I think I was pretty much set on smaller companies. And my boss from many years ago at Northern Networks introduced me to Carl, the CEO of Join. And we had a chat about possible ways for me to help them. And we ended up just deciding on security, which initially was surprising to me because I had done security about 10 years ago, which I loved, but I never thought about, I mean, working again in security. I grew up the group on security, but I was not myself. I mean, I didn't consider myself a security expert, at least a hands-on expert, but I love the domain. I mean, I love the fact that it's a mix of legal stuff and technology and policy and monitoring and contract. I mean, there are so many things happening in security, and also it's evolving every day. Yeah. So I love the domain. So I'm pretty happy to be on this right now.
Good. I was going to say, this is probably only my perspective. It feels sort of like it's recurring as an important topic, but maybe that's just in the domain of shared workspace because that's evolving so quickly and becoming so much more prevalent that security is becoming more of an issue. But technology in general changes and evolves so quickly that it's always new. So first I have to mention, Carl, I'll have you to kind of give us the, you know, who is Join and what problem do they solve? But Carl spoke at the GWA conference last year. And I remember Mark Gilbreth, who's the CEO of Liquid Space, like added him last minute. And I was like, who is this guy? What is he? Like, you know, it's just, I'd never heard of him before. So we do this fun thing at the conference where we ask people for like a couple of fun facts about themselves. And Carl's, I was going to look them up and maybe you know what they are. He speaks like, I don't know, 6 languages. He invented the cable modem. He's like this really interesting. I remember telling my husband, like, so there's this really interesting guy at the conference. He invented the cable modem. I was like, can't wait to hear him. And he is, he's, you know, brilliant. And what you're working on is really interesting. But
yeah.
And then I got to meet him in person since the company's in the Bay Area. And he's a great guy. And he has quite good interpersonal skills for being such a good engineer.
He's a very interesting person, definitely. And I really enjoy working with him.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us about Join Digital and, you know, the problem that you're solving and what your solution looks like.
Yeah. So what we do is we provide network infrastructure and data services for building owners and flex operators, property managers, and tenants in buildings. So our primary objective is to make internet connectivity as simple as water or electricity in buildings, right? So, I mean, when you come to building, there is usually water and electricity. I mean, we want to make internet and data services as simple as that. So you just open the tap, it's there. You don't have to deal with ISPs or, I mean, internet service providers or buying boxes and equipment to put in data room. It's all there by default. And then you can do just business.
Right? A dream come true.
Yeah, exactly.
For everyone.
I know. And it's co-working.
I mean, you know, most people get into the co-working flex office business because they care about the human side of it, right? They want to bring people together and create this amazing place for them to do their best work. And then darn it, they have to deal with really complicated things like how do I get internet to work?
Yeah.
And I always tell people like, look, the people will forgive you for almost anything except the internet. The internet doesn't work. You should fix it or hide, you know?
Yeah. I mean, nowadays, if internet doesn't work, you do nothing. Right. Yeah. Like you're just dying. I mean, because it's like water. I mean, for me, it's like water, electricity. It's become like a necessary.
You can't function without it, right?
And if you have to spend a week to install cables and equipments and to contract with an ISP, it's just a lot of time wasted. And then, I mean, that also means for small companies, it's a very big challenge also because who wants to have to do with IT, right?
When you're right. Probably the office manager has to deal with that and they know nothing. I mean, it's a huge challenge. And even working, even finding contractors who understand the needs of a shared workspace is still hard because they're used to boxes of, okay, I understand small business or I understand, you know, corporate, but this idea of all these people in a room. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
Yeah. So that's, so we, and we have the technology. So Carl and Dan with another co-founder for Joyn, they've been working on these cool optical switches and technologies. And so we benefit from that. And so we build our own private network and across the world, actually, with data centers, strategic places. And we just hook people to that, to those data centers using fiber, which I mean, has, I mean, I don't want to say unlimited capacity, but you can, the bandwidth you get fiber is huge compared to whatever you will get from your home or from an office or from an ISP, right?
So can you sort of walk through what this, I remember when Carl described it, I was like, that sounds too good to be true. Can you walk through like what this looks like? Like, so I'm, you know, maybe from a building owner perspective and, or a, talk about sort of building owner, maybe new building or, you know, what that looks like. Or if I'm a flex operator and I'm taking 30,000 square feet and the building doesn't already have join, you know, what does that scenario look like?
Yeah, so in general, we work with, and I'm sorry because the light is going off because I'm not moving enough. So the with the building owner, so we work with them from whenever they work on the building plans, either for new buildings or retrofits. We work with them to put the to set the cabling architecture that we will need for each of those, I mean, the rooms that they will equip or the, I mean, the floors that they will equip. So there is some work that has to be done with the architects of the building or the whoever is responsible on that side on, I mean, what's going to happen. I mean, usually the CIO is involved as well because if, I mean, they know what else they want to provide also in the building and they know what they want to hook through the internet. So we work on those plans and usually the building owners, I mean, they take over the work and work with the contractors to have everything set. So once the plans are done and it takes, it could take, I mean, just the cabling could take a few months. I mean, depending on the who they contract with. And we are no longer in the middle once the plans are delivered. And then the on our side, what we do is we prepare the data centers to just make sure that it's dimensioned to the needs of the whatever new building we are equipping. And then we bring the fiber. So we get the dark fiber to the building, the connectivity to the building from our data centers. And then once the cabling in the building plus the fiber and the data center are ready, I mean, the building is ready to go. So you have already basic service capability from, I mean, for whoever gets into the building. Then, I mean, tenants, whether they are flex office operators or enterprises, they can just add for additional services on top of it that we will bill to them directly, or, I mean, they can just use as is.
So once you equip a building,
yeah,
a tenant is sort of just like tapping into that. They don't have to manage, like there are not, you know, 75 separate contracts with Comcast in the building anymore.
They're it's one contract with us and then they just have to, I mean, they just use whatever service we provide for now. I mean, we will probably have more services as time goes by, but right now it's mostly network connectivity, UCAS, so Unified Communication Services. I mean, security comes on top of everything we do. We don't have any additional security services besides, I mean, the traditional things like firewall capabilities, antivirus. At some point, we'll add new things, but right now it's really the whatever is really necessary for businesses to work without, with, I mean, threat protection pretty much.
So if I'm in a building that is set up with Join, so I subscribe to your service, it's in the cloud at that point, right? And I don't need, what do I need to do to equip my space?
Nothing.
Yeah.
You'll have the wireless access, you'll have some plugs, depending okay. on what the building owner or the flex office operators want to have in the various rooms.
Yep.
But most buildings we've equipped so far, we have some wired connections and some wireless connections.
Yep.
So the only thing you need to do is just like get on the network.
Right.
Log in and get on the network.
And then is there like a dashboard if I need to manage? So you talk about security, like if a group comes in and wants like a VLAN or something.
Yeah. So our network is really designed to isolate various enterprise or teams or groups based on what their needs are. And so nobody can actually cross traffic with anyone else.
Okay.
That's really by design. Everything is done at the physical level. Everything is separated at the physical level.
Can you talk about some of the advantages to this setup for an enterprise occupier? Like we talk a lot in our industry about, you know, a lot of demand is going to start coming from enterprise occupiers that, you know, trying to think of a good example, like Verizon already uses a lot of flex space, but Verizon, you know, is putting a lot of folks in flex spaces. That demand, you know, will start coming our way, but Verizon shows up and has very specific, you know, sort of physical cybersecurity needs, requirements that they want a space to be able to meet. And oftentimes a space just like has never encountered that before until they get an enterprise customer. So yeah, how does your system sort of make that?
So I think, I mean, the in flex spaces with the technologies that people are using now, which everything is in the cloud, what is difficult in flex spaces in terms of security is that, I mean, there are no walls anymore, right? I mean, the real walls don't really exist because people move from one space to the other.
Yeah.
Even though we talked before about having drawers and whatever, I mean, the drawers, I mean, when you go to the bathroom, you have your devices on you. I mean, and what protects you once you are out in common areas, right?
Yeah.
So you have to think about, I mean, security at the network level being the only physical protection that can protect your data once it's in transit. Otherwise, I mean, the walls, I mean, everybody can cross the walls or go through the window, open the doors and whatever, and people eat together. And so it's like, you don't really contain people anymore in spaces, right? So you have to contain their traffic. And that's what we've been building, like a network that separates traffic that comes from users belonging to different companies. And we know the users, so everybody who gets on our network is identified. So we have the identity, and unless we know the person or the device that connects to our network, they cannot get on the network. And once we know who they are, we route them differently based on what we know, because, I mean, we know that, if that's a big Verizon, or they don't want their traffic mixed to anyone else, right? So
I have a couple of follow-up questions. So the next scenario is I move into a building, I take 30,000 square feet, but there's no Join in the building yet. What are my options?
So we have worked with tenants that, I mean, have got an authorization from their building owner to install some equipment. So we could definitely install equipment for a specific tenant, having them work with their building owner to get the authorizations necessary. And I mean, once we get some equipment in, it's easy for us to expand to many floors. I mean, it's easier if we equip the building, but we could also work with tenants. And if the tenants are large enough, we can certainly do that. But I mean, because there is an expense associated with, I mean, equipping just a floor or a space for a tenant. So it doesn't make sense for a team of 10, right?
Right. Scale is better, but you can.
Yeah.
Start.
Yeah.
Right. Because obviously not every building is being redeveloped.
Yeah.
And how do you manage if a building is not equipped with fiber?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're redeveloping a building, right. So ideally, probably today, everybody just does it. Are you running lines or how does that work?
No, we always bring fiber.
Okay.
So if they are not equipped with fiber, we'll find a way to bring fiber.
Who pays for the fiber though? Is that a sale I have to make to the landlord? Like, I need to use this service and you need to pay for the fiber to get
to
the
building. Bringing the fiber is, there is some work involved, but I mean, for a building owner, I mean, once they see the opportunity for them to get more value out of the building, because suddenly they have that and they can just, I mean, equip the rest of the building with better connectivity. I mean, that's
really, they see the ROI. Yeah. I mean, can a couple of points there that I'm now remembering from my chat with Carl. So one, I mean, his argument was like, look, enterprise occupiers will demand this. There is no other sort of choice from a security, you know, what you mentioned from a security standpoint, look, I don't want my data commingled with other people. This is just like table stakes. And then the other thing he mentioned was when you are, you know, redeveloping a building or wiring or whatever, like the cost of doing this is much lower than,
Yeah, because it comes with other construction, so you don't have to just, I mean, we are, for example, retrofitting some buildings, and it's, I mean, part of the deal is really, I mean, having all the work done once, right? So, and bringing the fiber is just an additional thing, which sounds small compared to everything else that needs to be done in the building.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, just kind of from a 101 perspective, we talked about sort of corporate occupiers are going to, this is kind of a basic requirement. So if you want to serve corporate occupiers, they're going to take offices or whatever, they're going to expect that you understand security and that you are able to set them up with security that meets they probably show up with something from their CTO that says, look, we need to have this. I know Verizon, Lucia Diana from Verizon's real estate group is on our board for the GWA. And she said almost always they have to bring their own printers to spaces because even that is a privacy issue and they can't be printing on a network with other people. Yeah. So can you talk about kind of basic security measures that a flex space operator needs to understand? And, you know, like what's my responsibility in terms of protecting my members, whether they be a tech startup or a freelancer or a corporate user?
Yeah, so there are a lot of things. I mean, of course, so first there is a physical security. I mean, that you still have to provide, right? You want to control access to your space.
Yep.
And you also want to make sure that if people have specific areas, which they probably have, right? I mean, so let's say a team of company A will have a specific office area that's has to be locked. I mean, so I think most of the difficulty right now for a lot of companies that there is a requirement for compliance. So most companies that deal with data from anyone have to be, I mean, I don't want to say SOC 2 compliant, but that's pretty much the standard now. SOC 2 compliant, GDPR compliant if they deal with Europeans.
Yep.
And those requirements have a lot of implications for physical security or how you handle visitors, how you handle badges or keys or do you know who's coming, who's going out. So you need to set this up, certainly, but that's only the physical things. And then you need also to, I mean, on the network side, just to make sure that, I mean, nobody can tamper with equipment in your building and unplug and replug and something else, right? So, I mean, you talked about the printer. I mean, you don't want somebody just like to install stuff in the printer of someone else or some of your tenants. So you need to make sure that, you have some capacity at the network level, IT level to detect any of those things. But this is what we do. So this is where we come in and we know what gets on the network.
Yeah. So you're like a full service manage. So that was one of my other follow-up questions, which I'll stick in now, is like for an operator, like the worst thing that can happen to your day is like somebody complains about the speed of the internet, which is not going to be a problem with fiber.
Yeah.
Or like that's probably it. Speed or, you know, my Zoom call keeps getting cut off, you know, like, but, or right. Like, and then things we just don't eat, we can't see. Like you said, like somebody installs something in the printer. I have no idea if somebody installs something on the printer, no way to monitor that.
Yeah. And so, it's getting harder because those equipment that gets connected to the network and can send information to anyone, they get smaller and smaller. So who knows if there isn't a camera installed by someone in one of your, I don't know, thermostat control or
right
or a light in, at the ceiling or behind your TV in your conference room. So you never, so it's very hard to know that unless you really scan your things and you know exactly. Yeah.
Well, I guess, so right, like...
Be careful with the equipment you put in your flex office. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure that you know what's inside. I mean, you've heard about the Huawei story, right? I mean, there were hidden things in the phones or... So, I mean, just, yes, you have to make sure that you know what is inside, you trust the vendors, and then there is a procedure for them to maintain and know that if somebody has installed anything or tampered with anything in any equipment that people in your building are using.
So you could see something that's added to the network, but is that like a report that shows up and says, oh, there's a new device in a somewhere?
Yeah, so we have logs of everything that connects and we only authorize things we know and that have been pre-authorized by the building owners.
Right, which is another advantage. Like, so I use Meraki dashboard and there is a rogue AP in my space somewhere right now and I don't know where it is. And so I have to go through the process of like, I got to knock on doors, probably in an office, you know, I get a fan.
Yeah.
Like, whose is it? Why do you have it? And have that awkward conversation. And so if it have been, maybe there's a setting somewhere it needed to be authorized first.
Yeah.
But I had to come and say, I want it because of this, you know?
Yeah. And that's a real, I mean, some of the behaviors is to allow and then to blacklist. I mean, we take the other approach, which is whitelist. So only those that have been given access are actually authorized. Otherwise, it just, you don't exist for us. So so that makes things much simpler if it works. And I mean, the difficulty is to make it work. And that's what Dan and Cal have been working on for years. So we know it works.
So join essentially kind of eliminates like sort of unit level management of, you still have to manage, I guess your access points could go bad. Like what are the things that could happen that you still have to deal with?
The access points, so we provide the access points.
Oh, okay.
So we bring the access point and all the access points are controlled by us. So we can, I mean, we, so when I was saying that based on the identity of the people, we can route the traffic differently. Wherever people are, we know who they are and where, I mean, who they belong to, I mean, which company they belong to. And so we can make sure that the traffic going to that access point is going to go to a certain route and not to another route. So those things are configured dynamically by our network controllers. So, I mean, nobody, if somebody unplugs the access point and just like replaces it with something else, I mean, it's, they won't get anywhere because nothing is going to connect this access point to the network.
Right. And if it gets unplugged,
I mean, they can, I mean, of course, I mean, they connect it to another network, but would still detect it because it's cabled into the building.
And if the access point, so, okay. So scenario, this is getting very like tactical, but so the access point wears out. I don't know what happens to access points. Like we just had to replace ours. So the access point goes bad. And that happens, you know, one day at 11 o'clock in the morning. What do I do?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, with us, I mean, we manage the access points, so we will support them. So we maintain. So we'll know, we'll get a signal that access point is not working. So just and send the person to replace it as fast as we can.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, really, you...
Everything is managed. Yeah. So it's really managed service.
Yeah. It's technology and the management of all of it so that really the operator is not worrying about much at all. Yeah.
No.
It's amazing.
You just, I mean, the only thing you have to worry about is the initial cabling and the rest we manage.
And then a question about integrations.
Yeah.
So I have, I don't know, density in my space to track utilization of conference rooms and door access? And how does that all integrate into your system?
Yeah, so right now we don't have those integrations. We are looking into ways to integrate with door access. People providing like building access tools. We also look at what the other one you say?
Like a density, which does, you know, movement tracking and capacity analysis.
Yeah, so we have, we get some data about, we know where people connect. We don't, mostly we use this data to produce reports for tenants and whoever is our customer. But we don't use it for anything else. And we have not really thought honestly about integrating. At least I've not.
Yeah. Although now that I'm thinking, basically you just need to whitelist the devices.
Yeah.
And they just integrate into your system. It doesn't, a technical integration is not really all that necessary. So most of the like door access and things like that will integrate into a space management platform, which is just running off the Wi-Fi. Yeah. So that integration's already made. So yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, we use this data for, us to optimize the network and maybe, reconfigure some access point and just reallocate traffic to other places. And just, it's more like, optimization of the network for based on usage. But the reports could be, it could be interesting for people like you understanding where, that's we want to disclose that information to the flex office operator, but for companies knowing where people go and
when do they use the space?
Showing the individual, but right. aggregate where do people really spend most of the bandwidth for? Do they spend their time on Facebook or something?
Yes, right. Yeah. So I know we only have a little bit more of your time, so I just want to ask a couple of final questions. What have I not asked that, operators of flexible workspace should be thinking about?
I think we touched a little bit on it, but I think one of the big issues that flex office operators or building owners have right now is to become aware first of the fact that pretty much everything, every equipment that you put in a building has software and might be connected somehow to the internet. And once it's connected, whether you want it or not, I guess in our case, if it's connected, you will have wanted it. It means that the equipment needs to be maintained. And we maintain the things we bring, but all the endpoints, like, for example, we talked about thermostats or, the phones we can provide, but let's say you have your own phones or whatever, those need to be maintained for security patches. So you need to make sure that whenever, as the number of equipment grows, you need to make sure that you have a program to update those different devices to make sure they have the latest protections against all the new threats that people discover every day, every week, every month. So, because most of the vulnerabilities come from actually unpatched equipment. So where you have something sitting in a room and suddenly you forget about it. And then,
yeah, I know. I just think when you're mentioning this, I'm thinking of all the, like you have an Alexa in the kitchen or you have a, Nest camera that you have on your doors. Yeah.
Just so those things, I think, make a lot of sense for flex office operators. Also, have visitor management. I think if you look at some of the requirements that compliance standards have, it's going to become obvious for you to, to deduct what needs to be done.
Procedures, right, that we need to have that would align with those.
Yeah.
Yep. Which it's a great topic. I'm not sure that that's always something that's well thought through. So I feel some other content coming out of this discussion.
So we can have a different chapter on compliance. If you want.
That word just makes me go,
I know, but a lot of companies, even small, moving in the flex office, they will want to be compliant and that the flex office has to support that for them.
Even small companies working with larger companies. I worked for a healthcare startup that was quite small, but we worked with, you know, Merck and Eli Lilly, and they had all sorts of compliance requirements that we had to meet because we were a vendor. And so, right, all the like locking of files and how to do your data, it was a nightmare, but right, you have to do it. So back to just kind of wrapping up here, so if people are listening and thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing, who is the best user of Join besides a building that's being, you know, updated or rewired, or, you know, there's an opportunity there. If I am an operator that is, you know, looking for a building or getting ready to sign a lease and looking for IT management, kind of who's your best fit customer?
In the end, the biggest beneficiary of what we do is really the business itself. So it's more like, I would say tenants, I mean, whatever size, are probably the biggest beneficiary, especially, maybe I'm just extrapolating because it's hard for us to say now. We have customers who are building owners and flex office operators and tenants. So, I mean, all of them are interested. Yeah. But I mean, for the business owner, I mean, not having to deal with IT or additional IT expenses, especially when you set up a remote office in another location, I think is a big deal. Because IT takes so much, if you extract the part of IT that we do, I mean, there is already a lot to do. So inside, just to secure the endpoints and things like that, which we don't do because, I mean, in the end, the business owner is responsible for the laptops and the mobile phones.
Yep.
That, right? So all of this stays, but I mean, if you can just remove some of the burden of doing all the rest, it's already great for them. And I think, I mean, in the end, they are the one who wants to do the most business and they want to protect the data that goes on the network, right?
So, yeah, it's, yes, the burden.
But building owners, I mean, to come back to building owners, mm-hmm. or even flex office operator, I'm sure you wouldn't want your tenants to come in with their equipment and to have to do cabling.
Right.
It's like, oh, yeah, it's nice for you too, because you don't have to install all this stuff and you don't have to rip off some of the things when people leave have people occupy your network room because they want additional equipment in your network room. So
yeah, you're going to be immediately compliant for anybody that walks in. And also you're just removing the burden of managing that aspect of the business, which can be really painful.
Yeah.
Okay. So if somebody wants to learn more about your service, what should they do? Where should they go?
Yeah. So our website, get-join.com, and just contact us. There is, I think, a lot to read. I haven't been on our website recently, but there is probably a lot to read already.
That's up there. Yeah. Perfect. And we'll link to that in the show notes. Yeah. And I know you need to run. So thank you for giving us kind of the 101 and sharing. Anybody who does not have an existing space or is working on a new one, this is like, it's a tremendous evolution in the way building IT is managed. So definitely learn more. I just, you know, remember meeting Carl, and even last year, I think he was like, you know, he was very surprised at all the enthusiasm when he was on stage and started talking about the solution.
Yeah. I mean, I got excited myself. The first time I met with him, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Coming out of, I mean, I was in large companies or small companies and just like, I felt like, wow, this is, yeah. Why didn't anyone do that before us? Actually,
Exactly. Right. So, well, that's what Carl's good at, being first at things, I think. So perfect. Well, thank you for sharing and spending the time today. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Amy.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.